We're back on the local beat with O'Brien. It's brought to you by Vandermark Jewelers on East Broad Street in Elyria, a trusted name in jewelry. And as we welcome in each and every Wednesday morning here on the morning show, it is Dave O'Brien from the Chronicle Telegram. Again, the feature for today's local beat. Dave, how are we doing today, sir?
We are good, Rocco. Thank you.
Fantastic, Dave. And let's start with a story from your colleague, Carissa Wojtek. This was in the weekend edition of the Chronicle-Telegram, if I'm not mistaken, as we make our way on over to Lorain. And something we've talked about a little bit in the news in the last couple of weeks or so, mental health, addiction, and recovery services. We're going to have our first the state's first, I should say, crisis receiving center in Lorain, if I could get my words together here. And I think folks in Lorain may have noticed a little bit of groundbreaking over this past weekend. So, Dave, what's the story here?
Yeah, this is just something that we've been following for, probably more than a year, maybe more like two or more than even more than that.
Yeah.
But this is a really great project that hopefully will help, you know, provide some crisis. It will just help people in crisis. And it's a 29,000 square foot, I should say, space, 24-hour access to behavioral health care, detox. They'll run 32 beds, 16 for those people with mental health issues, another 16 for those who need help with addiction. Staffed with medical professionals. It's all a partnership between the Mental Health Addiction and Recovery Services Board, or the MARS Board, as it's often known, the Nord Center, and Lakota Way. Obviously, I think people know those names from being around in the county. They do an awful lot of work helping people with mental health and addiction problems. So what was done here was the groundbreaking, as we said. Lakota is helping, you know, treat a lot of teens, preteens. Director of Ohio Department of Mental Health and Addiction Services, Lori Chris, said, you know, this is more accessibility, more visibility for those first in the state of Ohio. It's also going to house Lorain County's 988 suicide crisis hotline and other crisis as well. It doesn't have to just be, you know, self-harm to make that call to 988. Statewide, that service has been getting 12,000 calls a month, which is, you know, 12,000 times 12, figure it out. And, a couple of politicians showed up, Nathan Manning, you know, the Republican state senator, Democratic state rep Joe Miller. They showed up to lend their support. State threw in several million dollars out of American Rescue Plan Act funds to help people out, because there was a sharp increase in the number of people, you know, self-harming during the pandemic. There's a sharp increase of people in crisis during the pandemic. Loneliness alone, as some of the experts have told me, is one of those things that can trigger an addiction, you know, trigger, you know, somebody who's been in recovery to relapse, trigger somebody who's been having existing or pre-existing problems to do something that, you know, make that jump to a permanent solution to a very temporary problem. So we don't want anybody self-harming. We don't want anybody in crisis to not have a place to go and not have a place to be listened to. And this is really going to help that out. Oh, and also it should open in summer of 2025.
There we go. Just was going to say, at the end of Carissa's article here, it says the center is expected to be opened, again, roughly summer of 2025. So still a little ways off in the distance, but obviously, like you laid out there, Dave, just a fantastic project, the first of its kind in the state, and is really going to go a long way towards helping, you know, the mental health, those struggling with that, having a crisis, going through a crisis, and also those struggling with addiction. So very good stuff there. Again, the latest from Carissa Wojtek over the weekend in the Chronicle Telegram. Dave, one that you had on Halloween just yesterday, as those fancying their way on over to Smitty's Place, a proud sponsor for a lot of the sporting events here on WEOL. Gotta love getting yourself a Smitty burger, but if you're making your way over to Smitty's Place, you might notice a gold record hanging on the walls of Smitty's Place. Dave, what's this all about?
Yeah, this is all in honor of the late Lou Clark. Anybody who's been to Smitty's in the past, you know, probably about 25, 30 years, you know, may have run into Lou having a drink, you know, the older English gentleman who was their famed, actually, conductor, keyboardist, strings player in both not only Electric Light Orchestra, or ELO, as many people know it, but then in some of the successor bands to ELO, ELO2, the orchestra, He was touring up until a couple years ago when he had a long-term illness come back around, and unfortunately we lost him in February of 2021. So his son, his daughter, his wife, all showed up, and Gloria Clark, his wife, donated one of the gold records from, you know, appropriately titled ELO's sixth studio album, A New World Record. Now that gold record for selling 500,000 copies that was given to Lou Clark is now hanging in Smitty's on wow. East Bridge Street in Elyria. Super cool, right?
Yeah.
I mean, this is something we're talking about. This is something that probably could have ended up in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, but here it is in Smitty's. As Lou Clark Jr. Said, you know, Dad's favorite watering hole, as you Americans call it. he's a gentleman from Birmingham, England. And has a great, absolutely great thick Birmingham accent, and just a really nice guy. We had a nice conversation, talked about his dad, and he said, look, I have big boots to fill. We're playing with the orchestra now. He's been playing with the orchestra for 8 years, you know, following his father's footsteps, and in Elyria, you know, Lou Clark Sr. was just Lou. You know, he was there, and people, you know, the other night were shouting Lou, you know, and talking about him and just how he loved to be in Smitty's to have a place to drink. And Nick Kaminsky, who a lot of people know from ELO and his successor bands as well, showed up, really, really just a kind, very nice guy. He spent a couple minutes with me. And he just said that basically that Lou was one of his best pals of all time. You know, here are two guys who used to go drink at Smitty's, and they had toured the world with ELO. They had toured the world with ELO too. They had played in the orchestra and played everywhere. Gordon Townsend, the drummer from the orchestra, for the past almost 25 years, spoke with him as well. And he had come in with Lou Clark Jr. with Nick Kaminsky, in town to honor the elder Lou. You know, and Lou Clark Jr. said it best. He said, Dad really loved it here. And meaning Smitty's. And, he said it was great for him to be honored this way. Rachel Clark called it her dad's favorite hangout, and she was integral in basically doing the big reveal of the gold record that's hanging there on the wall. It's in a great place. It's really kind of cool. Stephanie Forthover, you know, the owner over there, said it was really neat for this to be there on the wall and to honor a guy who was so, you know, everybody described him as so humble, as just, you know, he'd sign an autograph for you, or talk about touring or whatever, but just never made it about himself. You know, it was about fans, about friends, about family. You know, and here's a guy who could have settled down anywhere in the world. He got a house in London for a while, but he settled in Elyria with his wife, raised a daughter here, has two other kids, two grandkids when he passed. And just really, really kind of a nice honor for a guy who accepted Elyria as his home. And so you can go to Smitty's anytime, go to the back of the bar, and there you go. There's a gold record from ELO.
Wow, incredible. Just an awesome little history lesson in this article by you, Dave. And like you said, a piece of music history literally hanging on the walls of Smitty's here in Elyria. Just a really neat story that you wrote here, Dave. I definitely encourage our listeners to check this out. This was in Tuesday's Chronicle Telegram. As again, we're joined this morning by Dave O'Brien on The Local Beat. It's brought to you by Vandermark Jewelers on East Broad Street, a trusted name in jewelry. Dave, what are you, Carissa, Owen, all your colleagues over there at the CT working on this week as far as upcoming stories go? I know elections right around the corner.
Well, Commissioners Week for me this week, two meetings with the Lorain County Board of Commissioners, a couple court stories I'm working on. Owen McMillan has taken over the Elyria beat, so you will see Owen in Elyria. Mm-hmm. I urge you to welcome him. He's just coming off doing a lot of coverage of Avon Lake, Sheffield Lake, kind of the northeast suburbs up there on the lake. So he's taking over the Elyria beat. He's doing some, unfortunately, jumping right into some sad news. There were several homicides in the past 2 weeks in Elyria or in the area, and he's doing some coverage on those. And we're just waiting on some big news I can't really talk about. But we're just trying to stay here and stay local and let you know how your money's being spent and even what voters are thinking leading up to the election. Just about a week away. Just about a week away. And, please, if you can, go vote. It's the process works better when we all vote.
Yeah, couldn't have said it better myself. Election night right around the corner. And again, for the latest from Dave and all of his friends over there at the Chronicle Telegram, make sure you pick up a copy of that Chronicle today or find that digital e-edition online for subscribers at chronicletea.com. All right, Dave, before we get out of here, we got to end on this, one of my favorite times of the week. What do you got for this week's Scanner story?
Oh, boy. Well, I'm stranded for this one.
Oh, no. Oh,
Rocco,
boy.
I apologize to anybody that's got problems with bodily functions, but courtesy of our friends over at Northeast Ohio Scanner on the X platform, formerly known as Twitter, we go Dateline East Cleveland, where there was an assault in the 1900 block of Taylor, where the reporting victim, the person reporting the incident, said a 67-year-old man assaulted another man by splashing him with his urine.
Oh boy. That's, man, does it get any more East Cleveland than that sometimes, man? I tell you what, this isn't, you know, we're not Patches O'Houlihan from Dodgeball where, oh, it's sterile and blah, blah. No. Let's just put that all to bed. My goodness gracious. I mean, you did warn me, Dave. You did warn me it'd be a little on the grosser side, but man, did not expect that. Did not have that on my early November bingo card. I'll tell you that much. So, wow. Entertaining Scanner story as always from Mr. O'Brien, and again for the latest from Dave and his colleagues, pick up a copy of that Chronicle Telegram today or find that digital e-edition at chronicletea.com. Thank you, Dave. Appreciate it as always, my friend. Have a great rest of the week, and we'll talk after the election.
That sounds great, Rocco. We'll talk to you then.